Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
But then this week, you know, Antonio Brown, when this news comes out, I'm like, well, who has their finger on the pulse of all things Antonio Brown? Mm. It's CBS Sports senior NFL writer and host of the one of my favorite podcasts, the Pick Six Pod, Will Brinson. And I'm not sure if he's ever been involved in this kind of scandal before. But Will, have you been following Antonio Brown all day? And could you have predicted these twists and turns in a million years?
No. Hey, by the way, congrats on the new show.
Thank you, guys.
Second of all, I would say that Perloff, you and I, like, the closest thing I've had to a sex tape scandal of any kind is when Kyle Brandt used us in the Sam Darnold mono thing on Good Morning Football, suggesting that we had mono in college.
Oh yeah,
I didn't. Just absolute slanders. Kyle and I are still in deep-seated litigation over that.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding.
Everyone said, by the way, Will, everyone said I was bragging that I got mono in college because it's a kissing disease or something, that it meant I kiss girls. Yeah, I mean, by college, I didn't get mono in high school. I just want to point that out. But sorry, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I mean, no, I would say that followed the Antonio Brown saga, I mean, as closely as somebody who does my job would follow it, but I wasn't aware that he did a podcast today until a few minutes ago where he was ripping Tom Brady. Tom Brady, how can this guy turn his back on Tom Brady? Tom Brady brought him to his house and let him live with his wife, let him sleep under the same roof as his wife and children multiple times in multiple cities. He's the only reason he kept getting a job. And now this guy's just turning his back on Tom Brady? If there's one person you don't turn your back on, that's how I know that Antonio Brown, who had sort of shifted the public conversation back towards him being not a reasonable human being, but a quiet citizen, a model citizen, as Bruce Arians described him, in the year and a half since he got to Tampa, and now he's just jabbing Tom Brady in the back publicly after he took his shirt off at a football game and gave the peace sign and sprinted into the tunnel, and Tom Brady, then his immediate comments were, "Let's all have some compassion." And AB turned around and jabs him in the back. What are we doing here?
Well, Will, update for you. Turns out that Antonio Brown leaving the field could have been a lot more interesting. AB was considering mooning the crowd on the way out. He said he showed some self restraint there, but it feels like a lot of things are kind of working against the Tampa Bay Bucs right now. I mean, this is a really big story. It's a massive distraction, even for Brady, who's been able to be singularly focused through these storms. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. And also point out, as I just did to our audience, the woman who we spent the night with before this game and before the blow-up has a video of them getting frisky and can release it whenever she wants. So that's just sort of a bullet in the chamber that she's got ready to go. This story may not be over for a long, long time. Does it feel like too much is in front of the Bucks this year?
A little bit, Maggie. I mean, I do think maybe even more so than all this like Antonio Brown distraction stuff, which is next level.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you think that you cover the NFL and you've seen the weirdest headline you think you'll ever see, or written the weirdest headline about a news story you'll ever write, something just comes along a few weeks later, and it's just 10 times weirder. And the Daily Mail headline where it's like Antonio Brown's steamy sex session in hotel room with OnlyFans model who gained fame for licking toilets to try and get coronavirus. Like, mm-hmm. Did I just read that?
that old headline.
Yeah. If I see that one more time today.
Right, that old chestnut, the classic AP-style headline. Yeah, I mean, I think the Bucks' problems for me don't even – I mean, I think the Antonio Brown thing is important, but more so from a football perspective, it's important in the aspect that this was one of the deepest, most talented, you know, skill set group that Tom Brady's ever had. Their offensive line is still very good. They should get Lenny Fournette back. Ronald Jones has played well in his absence, and they have Mike Evans and the three-headed monster of Gronk, Cameron Brady, and O.J. Howard at tight end. But you know, they just don't scare as much at wide receiver as they did previously. And one of the differences between this year's Bucs team and last year's Bucs team is we can't be 100% sure that the defense is going to flick the switch in the playoffs the way that it did. The secondary last year was playing really well, and it's a nice compliment to all the guys up front. Now it's a whole different story. I mean, they can stop the run for sure, like, you know, especially if Zach Wilson's trying to sneak on fourth and two. But you can light them up if you've got a good passing offense and a strong offensive line. So I think they're a pretty bad matchup for the Rams. Or I think they match up poorly with the Rams, the Packers. You know, you can make the case of the Cardinals too. I mean, these teams that have high octane passing offenses, good offensive line, they can withstand the pressure of the strength of the Bucs, which is the defensive line. It's going to be a tough road for them. And it was a tough road for them last year, but they just don't feel like they have the same sort of, you know, energy on defense and the strength on offense that they do have Tom Brady. So far be it for me to bet against him.
We're talking to CBS Sports senior NFL writer Will Brinson. Now, Will, Antonio Brown's sort of taken over the news cycle, but we've had some familiar suspects this week creating headlines. Baker Mayfield in Cleveland going back and forth with the local media, which is not new, as you know. Where do you land on this? Do you think that it's really possible he could request a trade in the offseason?
I don't want to source guess at all because that's not polite, and I think Mary Kay Cabot is very good at her job. So just putting those caveats out there. But I thought it was interesting, if you kind of read the article and go read the paragraph about Baker requesting a trade and read it like a second and third time, and you sort of start to realize, you know what, that might not be coming from Baker. If you really read it, it sounds like it's something that's coming from the team. Them basically saying, we think if Baker doesn't get his way this offseason and we don't make some changes, he might request a trade. And so I think that's why Baker probably responded the way that he did, because it didn't come from him or his camp. And he believes that, you know, essentially that, you know, the Cleveland media is being used by the Browns in order to set up this sort of narrative that Baker is a bad guy and a bad teammate and doesn't want to play along with Kevin Stefanski and all that. The problem for them is, it's your option. And if you're Baker Mayfield, I don't believe you can take less than what Carson Wentz makes on an average annual basis, which is $32-ish million. And if you're the Browns, you really can't pay Baker Mayfield $35 million a year right now. That would go over poorly in a pitchfork and, you know, torch situation in Cleveland, where they're marching down to First Energy Stadium to provide you a new kind of energy. And so they're just in a rock and a hard place. And I think the only move, honestly, is to say, Baker, look, let's play out this fifth-year option. Let's go have a good year. Have the year we thought we were having in 2021. Everybody get on the same page. You know, they had a bunch of really bad luck with COVID and injuries and sort of, you know, the early season, maybe it was week one, but the loss to the Chiefs where they were leading. Like, they could easily be a playoff team that's getting hot at the right time. It's just they got a ton of bad breaks, and Baker's been hurt and hadn't played very well. I think in a perfect world, you can just hit the reset button and say, let's go try to do what we were doing this past year. But it doesn't look like it's going to play out that way in Cleveland.
I have the perfect replacement for next year, Maggie. Will, can you guess who I think would fit in nicely, maybe he's familiar with the offense, has had success with the coach?
Well, knowing Perloff, he's got to be a career backup.
Yep.
I was going to guess Andy Dalton.
Red hair. That was going to be my second one. He's got to be a redhead, gingers only, and he's got to be journeyman?
Well, let me put it, he already lives in Cleveland right now.
Cousins.
Cousins is right in my wheelhouse, by the way. Just go with Case Keenum. Will, should they have been playing Keenum all year long with Baker Mayfield's shoulder hurt? I mean, Keenum's going to whoop Brandon Allen and the Bengals this weekend, and you guys are going to see.
They should have. I look, Case Keenum. I think Stefanski was the quarterback coach when they did the Minneapolis Miracle season, mm-hmm. and Shermer was the OC. But yeah, I mean, plenty of success with him. That was sort of the problem, Perloff, is the whole time Baker should have been pulled out, but this was always going to be his prove it contract year. And so he didn't want to step away, because then if Keenum comes in and is just as good as he is, then what does it say about his contract? Like, how can you possibly give that guy a contract? So I think that while Baker did the right thing last offseason, the way that it unfolded ended up working against him, because he played hurt, he played poorly, and Keenum would have been a perfectly serviceable replacement. I have no if the Browns what the Browns should do is trade Baker to the Steelers for like a second round pick and just play Case Keenum, and they'd probably be better off for it.
Man, that would be interesting. The QB carousel and trading them in the division, that'd be something. Will, final one for you. We just got a minute here. Has Rodgers locked up the MVP, and does he actually have Hub Arkish to thank for it, because Hub let his biases out, said the quiet part out loud, and now the media is going to feel like they have to vote for Rodgers so it doesn't look like they're holding the off-the-field stuff against him?
I think he was going to win it anyway, Maggie, but that definitely gave – now all of a sudden, if you didn't vote for Aaron Rodgers, not your credentials, but your motives will be questioned pretty quickly. And I think – I didn't believe him when he first said it. I think Rodgers is going to play a quarter at least, and maybe a half on Sunday. They've got the bye locked up. He's not going to want to sit for 2 full weeks. He can come in and throw 3 touchdown passes, guarantee himself the MVP. You feel good about where you're going against, you know, blast the Lions. You feel good about where you're going with the, heading into the playoffs, and everybody's sort of happy, barring, you know, some bizarre injury. So I think we see a little bit of Rodgers, and he locks it up this weekend. I would bet the Packers first half if you have an opportunity.
Ah, I like that little nugget there for our audience. Where this interview started was allusions to a sex tape, but I think where it ended was a really positive note there, Will. Way to get this interview back on track, buddy.
Sex tape into gambling. That's mm-hmm. how we get here.
By Will.
All the vices.
My first legal bet this weekend in New York State, it's coming on Saturday. How about Cooper Kupp minus 4,000 for MVP? Would you buy that as a risk if he goes off this week?
Like plus like 40 to 1? No, you got to give me like 400 to 1.
All right, fine. No,
it's Rodgers or Brady. That's it. I love Cooper Kupp, offensive player of the year. Yes, MVP. No chance. They'll give it to a receiver.
Will, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for being part of our inaugural week here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Hope to do it again soon, bud.
Hey, anytime. Thanks again and congrats, guys.
Oh, thanks so much. That was Will Brinson, of course, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, and the co-host of the Pick Six podcast. A must listen.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.